Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Tuesday Night Jaw.
Hello, you lovely lot, and welcome to this week's edition of
Tuesday Night Jaw. I'm your host, Bozzers. How's it going? Welcome to Tuesday Night Jaw.
Hello, Bab. How's it going? Welcome to Tuesday Night Jaw. How you doing? Oh, I wish you could answer me when I ask you things like that. It's really tricksy, isn't it? I've been, honestly, missing hanging out with people and talking about wrestling and watching it together so much that it's quite hard now just sitting, talking about it to a microphone and not being able to have my pals here. That's something that I do hope that as time goes on and the world opens up a little bit more, I can have my pals here to chat through wrestling with me. I know that a few of you have said that you really miss the old round tables from Tuesday Night Jaw, so, you know, that's definitely something to consider, isn't it? Definitely something to think about going forward. But how's your week been? Mine has been good. Thank you for asking. Microphone. I did have to have a COVID test this morning, though. A nurse shoved a cotton bud so far up my nose. I've just never had anyone that deep inside my nostril before. She was flipping, wiggling around up there and everything. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. The moments leading up to it were obviously more horrific than the thing itself, which is often the case. But yeah, I had to have that bloody coronavirus test. And yeah, honestly, I haven't had a chance to watch much wrestling this week, which has been depressing. I don't know if you feel like that. There's so much to watch. There's so many hours to catch up on with things that some weeks I just feel a little bit overwhelmed by it, so I have to do it in increments. So I'll be spending some time, hopefully, over the next week or so, catching up on some bits and bobs. But today's episode, I have got another guest for you. I know that I said that the format wasn't always going to be the same, and it's not, I promise. I've only got one proper guest for you today. It's not a championship holder, but it is an amazing, inspirational person. It's Vader Scott. Vader Scott. I don't know if you've been watching AEW recently, but Vader's been doing the commentary for the Women's Tag Team Cup tournament. She's been super inspiring. She's held her own sitting next to people like Tony Schiavone. That's how you say it, isn't it? Tony Schiavone. And Taz. She's been sitting there doing the damn thing, and it's been wicked considering her background, as you'll find out when we get into the interview, is in-ring stuff. She's a wrestler. She's an independent wrestler. And why I wanted to get her on the podcast was this time last year, I think it was roughly, she put a tweet out into the universe and she said, "Next year, I want to commentate on TV." And I thought, that's so bold, because if that doesn't come off, you know, like any goal that you set, it can be heartbreaking if you don't meet it. And I just think that when people say, "This is what I want," when they speak it out in public, particularly in front of hundreds or thousands of people that follow you on social media, it's just next level bravery, I think, in terms of, you know, your self-esteem and things. I just think it's really brave. And Vader put that out into the universe, and I've followed her career for the last 5 years, so I've been following her, seeing what she's been doing. She's been over to the UK a few times. Again, we'll discuss that a little bit in detail. But the bravery, I thought, you know, I was really inspired by it. And when it came off, it was even bigger celebration. I would have celebrated it anyway because I want her to do good things, but it was an even bigger celebration because I was like, wow, you said that's what you wanted and you achieved it. What an amazing thing. So I won't keep you too much blathering on about the interview. You can just listen to the interview now. But in the meantime, can I ask, get your notepad up on your phone, get a pen and paper. This isn't to write your goals, though you are obviously welcome to do that at any time. But after my interview with Vader, I'm going to launch my inaugural wrestling quiz, Big Pop Master. Bit more about that afterwards, but for now, it's Vader time. Let's go. Tuesday night, Jaw. Okay, Vader Scott, thanks for joining us on Tuesday night, Jaw. How's it going?
Good. Hello. Hi. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you. Now, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations on the ace job you did calling all the action for the AEW Women's Tag Team Cup tournament. How's that been for
you? Thank you. Oh my gosh, so cool. Like, what a cool project. So for me, as someone who's been an independent wrestler for most of my career, there was like a little blip in there where I wasn't quite. But as someone who's been an independent wrestler for so long, the chance to do this with so many people that I've also worked alongside for this whole time, that was super cool. And to get like so much exposure for some people that I think were so deserving of it, but maybe like hadn't quite gotten the audience. I mean, it's gotten, so some of those episodes have 500,000 views on YouTube. They continue to be shared. It's just a really, really cool platform.
Incredible. It's wonderful. It must have also been, from a personal perspective, awesome calling matches alongside people like Taz and Tony Schiavone. What was that like?
Oh my god, it was so cool. So for me, like, I've had so many amazing colleagues as I've gone through my growth as a commentator. I didn't get into wrestling to be a broadcaster or an announcer at all. I got into it as a wrestler, and then pretty immediately wanted to start doing more and more announcing. So along the way, a lot of that's just been me like putting on the headset for a match here and there, or like asking if I can maybe call a match on this show, or like, hey, after I wrestle, would it be okay for me to maybe like hop in the booth for a little while? So I've had the opportunity to call matches with so many incredible people that's helped me out so much. But then to get to AEW and get the chance for, like you said, work with Tony Schiavone, like that in a million years is not something I ever thought would happen.
It was wicked because I watched it and you kept your cool throughout, but I was thinking this must be a dream because I was super inspired by your story because I remember not that long ago that you were putting out into the universe that you were hoping to do more commentary and that you wanted to diversify your skills. Now, putting yourself out there, like bearing your dreams, it puts you in a quite a vulnerable position generally, doesn't it? Because it means that if you don't achieve them, it's like twice as bad.
It's public. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then there was like a pandemic and I was like, well, I don't know that I'm going to do anything this year, let alone like, I would say I'm not the most concrete goal oriented person. I have like more generalized goals in terms of like my moods and how I'm feeling and my job satisfaction and that sort of thing. And that's what I think is healthy for me. So I don't usually have a concrete end point or a concrete goal, and this time I kind of did. Like, it's still more vague than like I want to do this one specific thing on this one specific day, but I did. I kind of like, I tweeted it actually, which is the most realistic thing you can do. But I tweeted that I wanted to do more and more announcing, and I wanted to do commentary on TV this year, and it was like a goal that I had like some steps in mind to achieve, but nothing like too concrete. And then there was a pandemic and like none of that mattered anymore.
No.
Like nothing I intended to do seemed like it would happen or matter or anything. So yes, this was all like very unexpected and sudden.
Because why, a lot of wrestlers will just do their stuff in their match and then leave. What is it that makes you go and ask those, can I be in the booth? Can I call this match? Why did you want to expand your experience within wrestling outside of the ring?
So it's super selfish, but my favorite thing in pro wrestling for me personally is it comes with like figuring out like what we're going to do for our match and the stories we want to tell and like how what I do can really mesh with what my opponent does and like what we can do that's cool and different, and the creative aspects of it. It's the athletic parts of it. I don't think they don't come as easily to me, and it's something I work on, but I'm not a gymnast. I'm not a super athlete. I'm just not. And that part of it is not as fun for me as the storytelling, and just like the performance aspect of it. Mm. So very selfishly, when it's my match, I only get to tell my story. But if I'm calling a show, I get to have a little part in everybody's story. And I love to just have the opportunity to sort of be creative with so many people, because to me, announcing isn't just saying what I see. It's trying to interpret the actions that the wrestlers are doing in the ring. And I know for me, when I'm in the ring, it's important to me that the commentary tries to do their best to work with me and to just amplify the story I'm trying to tell. Mm-hmm. So again, from a completely selfish perspective, the fact that I get to be like part of so much more, that's fun for me. That I get to tell so many more stories, that's fun for me. And I don't do anything that isn't fun for me right now in my life.
That's good to know, because I know that, you know, people don't look at commentary like that necessarily. Like, a lot of fans take it for granted, don't they? That part of it, that storytelling part of it, because there is that difference between saying what you see and then, you know, telling the wider story. And I think it's really cool that you're even that way oriented, you know what I mean? The way that your brain works. I think that's a really cool thing.
Well, and I think I'm not on this level myself as an announcer, but I think when you're talking about like really excellent announcers and excellent commentators, they add so much to a match. And I think that's, if we're talking goal-oriented things, like that's what I want to be. I want my voice to not in any way like take over the match, but I think that the fact that there's this story sort of backing it up and that someone is narrating this story is important.
Mm-hmm.
and not fighting against what's happening in the ring, because you obviously watch tons of wrestling and you can tell when the announcers are sort of like fighting what's going on in the ring, or they're not contributing to it, or they're taking away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I guess I want to kind of work against that as well. Mm-hmm. But also, like I said, as a wrestler, like it matters to me a lot that the commentary is good. Because I'm someone who has wrestled and then watched the match back, and the announcing's been just unusable. Mm. Like sexist or gross.
Awful.
or not paying attention to the match at all, or disrespectful, or just not good.
Mm.
And it's frustrating and it's disappointing, and I don't want to ever be that person who, when someone goes back to watch their match, they're like, oh, well, I wish that I could show this footage to someone, but I can't because the announcing was shit.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
That's important to me too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like I don't like to say that something's bad if I'm not going to do anything about it. So I guess part of it is me just trying to like improve myself so I can improve everything overall.
I love that attitude. Because how long have you been in wrestling now? How long have you been involved in the industry?
Nine-ish years. Something like that.
Goodness. And you've done a lot in wrestling. You're a big part of Ring of Honor, the Women of Honor thing, weren't you?
I was for a period of time, yeah. I left there, I want to say 3 years, 4 years ago. And I was there, I originally trained with the school that was associated with ROH, but it was a time where they were sort of like in between with women's wrestling. Like they had a women's division building, and then that kind of all stopped and there was no women's wrestling. So I trained with their school, not with the anticipation of ever working there, because there just wasn't an opportunity there and I didn't really foresee there being one.
Mm-hmm.
But just in terms of I had some limitations on locations for where I could train because I was in school. So this was the school that worked best for me. And it ended up working out. I got to travel with ROH and I learned a lot from there, and then eventually a few years later I ended up working there as well.
Mm. 'Cause you've been over to Japan as well, haven't you? I understand.
I have, yeah.
And I was gonna say, of course, you've been to Britain now. Sorry, I'm really interrupting. Yes. I'm so excited to ask you all these questions.
Yes. So there was a period of time where I felt like I was practically living there. And I would love to go back to that situation.
Okay.
We figured it out a couple days ago that this the last match that I had in front of like So the last match before, so I just had a match, I want to say a week ago, at a drive-in movie theater they wow. had here, where the wrestling ring was in the middle, and then, like, people were kind of pulled up in their cars or standing out in the grass distance. That match, and then a match that I had a week before that in a similar scenario, those are the first matches that I had had since March 15th. And the last time I was in Canada was the end of February, and before that I had been in England, and we figured out that this period of time, this like 6 months, is the longest I've stayed in the United States in 4 years. It's I don't know what to do with myself right now. This has never happened.
Your endeavors have not just been, you mentioned about going to school then, it's not always just been wrestling focused, because I understand that you practice law. That's right, isn't it?
So I finished law school. When I first started wrestling was also when I was first starting law school. So I graduated from law school. I don't practice law right now because wrestling just took off and kind of took over everything. And there's a lot of requirements that you have to maintain in order to do that. And I can't work like a schedule that would be conducive to that at all right now. So I finished law school. My deal with myself was you have to finish law school and you have to have one wrestling match. And that was like what I told myself I was going to do, try to do both, which is not a good idea. And I don't recommend it at all. Like, do not.
Did you burn yourself out?
Do not pursue like a postgraduate degree while you're also trying to break into professional wrestling. Just don't do it. Because everyone's always like, oh, that was so cool. And I was like, no, it is dumb. It was stupid. I was very tired for a long time. Still am. So there's that. My undergraduate, all my like university level stuff, I wasn't a wrestler yet and didn't intend to be. I did a lot. Most of what I've done in my life was to kind of direct me away from professional wrestling because it was just pulling the whole time.
How long had wrestling been on the scene for you? How long had it been like this little dream of yours that was nagging away?
So I've been a wrestling fan my whole life. Like, I don't remember not being a wrestling fan or not having wrestling playing in the house. So I've been a wrestling fan my whole life. In terms of like wanting to do it myself, that was like a much later development. Well, I shouldn't say that. I always wanted to do it myself, but it like obviously was not very realistic. It seemed like a bad idea. I was constantly in school, or I had gotten a job that I was very, very happy to be doing in television production. And there's things were happening that were like keeping me away from actually doing wrestling. And then I moved to a city that was like a very wrestling heavy city and started to be around indie wrestling more and more, which I'd always gone to shows, but this is like me getting to know more people. And like I said, I was in a city where training became easier, and I just kind of decided that I would sign up for wrestling training and see how that went, and assumed that the answer would be not well. But then like, I kind of wanted to just push myself to see if I could just get through it and maybe have a match. And that was like, that was literally the extent of my goals at the time.
And now here you are.
Yes, for better or worse, I still am here.
Now that you're doing more on the headset, does that mean that we're going to lose you as an in-ring performer? I certainly hope not, but...
Oh, yeah, I have no idea. I love wrestling. It's obviously it's my first love in terms of like the business. I would love to keep wrestling forever, but that also is not possible, and I recognize that. So I think that sort of in the back of my mind is another reason I've tried to just like learn other things as well. I don't foresee stopping wrestling unless I had to for some reason, hopefully not for whatever reason, physically or mentally I wasn't up to it or whatever. But I don't have intentions to stop. But at the same time, I'm very satisfied with what I've done in my career, to a point where if like tomorrow I had to stop wrestling or I decided to stop wrestling, I'd be okay with that too. And that's where I'm like, being completely honest, that's where I'm at. But I don't have like an active desire to stop wrestling.
But I would
because I think there's other things that I'm good at or good enough at.
And it's nice to know that you're not going to walk away from wrestling and that will be the extent of it. You know, for example, if it just got to a point where it just hurt too much, waking up every day, it just hurt too much.
Yeah.
So you walk away. I guess that lifelong love of wrestling must be what's drawn you to sort of giving yourself longevity in the business by diversifying your skills and doing things like commentary.
Right. And I mean, I love pro wrestling. My life is structured around pro wrestling just by necessity right now, but I also would be okay with, I'm at a point where I have accomplished a lot of things that I'm very happy with. The main thing, the amount of traveling I've been able to do. I met my partner through pro wrestling. I have so many friends who are one of them through pro wrestling. If I had to completely walk away from wrestling altogether tomorrow, I'd be okay with that. And I think that's the point you have to get to in order to do anything really good.
Yeah, because that desperation, you know, if you've got that sort of like burning desperation, it could work against you, couldn't it? If you
exactly, yeah. I think so. I feel like for my mental health, the fact that I've gotten to a point where like this is what I want to do and not what I need to do is the point where now I feel comfortable that like okay, I might make a lot more progress right now in terms of like my growth and my satisfaction with my work.
Good, I love to hear that. At what point did you think I could do this commentary thing? Because it can't, was it right from the very outset? Because as women, we don't have, you know, women are still criminally underrepresented in wrestling generally, I'd say, but particularly in broadcasting. Who do you look to for inspiration there? And is there, you know, has that been something that's held you back, or as being a woman in this industry sort of been by the by?
So I've been pretty fortunate, I think, because I've worked for a lot of the bigger women's promotions, and therefore when I would try to do a little bit more announcing there, like that was something that was welcomed or encouraged. So that's been helpful too, and I got a lot of experience through that. But also I feel like for me, when I'm looking at like people that I admire and people in broadcasting, like you said, I don't want to just call. I think it's important that we don't just call the women's matches. It's not like a niche thing. And I think that the best announcing is sort of like diversified across the board. We're like, it's amazing to have like when I listen to something and I hear like, for example, like Beth Phoenix or Renee Young, if we're talking about people who like I look up to in wrestling announcing, like Renee Young, obviously someone who like her voice is so legit. And her voice is like it's a trusted voice. And I think if we're talking about like trusted announcers, I think that's important for wrestling. Not just her work as a commentator, which she did quite a bit of, but just in general as an interviewer and just a host. That level of trust with the viewer, I think, is really important. That's something that Renee was able to develop and continues to develop. And I think that is something that I really admire. When I look at, especially like you said, like women in a business where there just are not that many female voices, I think that's really, really admirable. I don't know that I will ever come close to that level, but it's a goal.
Yeah, I was going to say it's something that at least you can see that it's worth striving toward because it's not something that's impossible anymore.
But there are a bunch of women right now in prominent announcing positions. Madison Rain at Impact is awesome. Her commentary is just great when she also hosts segments. She's incredible. And I think it's something that maybe people kind of like snuck up on people that she could do this. And she's so good at it. But she and Josh are an amazing team. Obviously, we got Beth Phoenix with NXT. I really, really enjoy her work too. So I think for me, maybe this is just my take. It's almost like when it's not remarkable that a woman is in the booth or a woman is doing a whole pay-per-view, that to me is what's important, is to get to the point where like it's not even something to think about because it's commonplace and it just is what it is. And I would like to get to that place.
Yeah, me too. I think you know, it's just representation across the board in all different areas of wrestling is still something that we're striving towards, but positive forward steps.
Yes.
Now, I mentioned Japan and then I just talked all over you because I wanted to talk about your time in the UK. But what is it that's kept you coming back to Britain?
So again, I love traveling in general in life, and the fact that I can do it through pro wrestling makes it even better. That like I can travel to wrestle on a show in some little village that I'd never heard of before, or like I can go to some state that I'd never visited before here to work a show is great. But then when I look at something like so when I was in college or in university, like study abroad is super common here. It was super common, particularly in my university. I went to school in New York City, and everyone I knew did at least one semester abroad. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't able to because I was working all the time, and my job didn't let me have, like, my job didn't afford me that time off because I was doing, between the credits I was doing, the job that I had, and the, like, work study I was doing, the opportunity wasn't there. And I was mad at myself for that I, like, didn't get the chance to go study in London or go to Greece, or, like, I had a friend who did Paris, and I was like, oh, and when you're 19, this is incredible. When you're 19 and you've never gone anywhere, like, that's crazy. And I think that maybe is why I focus so much on, like, trying to travel so much with wrestling, is I'm, like, making up for opportunities that I kind of skipped over. So I just, when coming over to England so often, is that for me, is just traveling and getting to just have a, I mean, also I will say this as an aside, you know about this, but in case people who listen don't know, my partner is Canadian. He and I wrestle internationally quite a bit, and try to coordinate tours and times together, because it's something that we can do together in wrestling. We're not able to wrestle together in the United States. Mm-hmm. So that's a factor too. And that sort of changed my goals a little bit and really opened me up to going different places.
Yeah, because
so that's been really awesome.
Tell me a little bit about that relationship, because you guys have been on the road a lot together, haven't you? I love to see that. So tell me a little bit about him, if you will.
So his name is Speedball Mike Bailey. I'll call him Mike for these purposes, I guess, a name that I never use. But he's honestly, he's the best unsigned professional wrestler in the world right now. Mm-hmm. He just is. That is my personal bias, but also is probably objectively true. He's just incredible. And we've been together for a long time, but we've never been able to live together or actually like fully start our lives together, because we're both constantly busy with wrestling, traveling with wrestling. And so one of the ways that we sort of build our relationship is traveling together and training together. Obviously with borders closed, that's kind of put a damper on that, but for example, like he lives in Canada, which is not very often, he lives in Montreal, so I would come up and stay for a few weeks so we could train together, and then we would take bookings based around that. And same thing with like coordinating like little trips to England or taking bookings in different parts of Canada. And that was just a very integral part of our relationship. And he also spent, again, when he was able to travel, would spend, I would say, about half the year in Japan. Mm-hmm. And then in between his tours, we would try to coordinate something that we could both do. So that was something that I think helped me grow a lot as a performer. Mm-hmm. Because he's, like I said, he's so good and pushes you so hard just working with him and training with him. We actually haven't seen each other in person for 6 months. Ugh. Which is the worst, the absolute worst. I this bet. Freaking sucks. 6 months,
especially when you've got these amazing things to celebrate. It would be nice to be able to be with all of your loved ones to celebrate it, right?
Yeah, and like we like knew what we were getting into. This has always been a distance thing. There's always been many complications. This is just another unforeseen and horrible one. So like we're fine. It just sucks.
Yeah, I bet. But it must be really cool. He must get to learn loads from you with your skill set, and you get to learn loads from him with his skill set. So it sounds like it must be a riot on the road. You must have loads of fun. Exhausting, but fun.
Yeah, I mean, he's my favorite person, and so I would want to be like spending time with him regardless, but it's cool that we have a little bit more depth to it too.
Yeah, super cool. And so finally, what does the future hold for Vada Scott? You must feel better about setting goals now that you know that you can achieve them, you can put it out there. So what are your hopes, what are your aspirations?
So I really love what I'm doing with announcing right now, and I would like to do more of it. I would do it full time if I could. It's it's been really fulfilling to me, and it's been something that I'm just having fun with. I'm having the most fun with it. I'm having more fun than I think I anticipated I would have. So I think my overall goal is to just continue to do more and more of that.
Good.
In terms of wrestling, it's hard to say because I don't know like what's even possible right now. Like going back to my old wrestling schedule feels very far away, just because I can't travel and wrestling is sort of slowly coming back. But I don't know. I mean, I would like, as long as I'm still feeling fulfilled and satisfied with what I'm doing, I'll continue to do it. I always joke around that I'll never retire. I just will like stop one day and people will notice over time, maybe. But I believe that. Like, I believe that. Like, I'm doing what I'm doing because it's what works for me in my life. And if it didn't work for me, then I would stop. I know that sounds like...
No.
Like, I'm just sort of, like flying around in the wind, but that kind of is what I'm doing.
Good. I love that. It is hard. The world is so bizarre at the moment that it's hard to make concrete plans, and wrestling's nowhere
right.
that anybody can ever make concrete plans because it's such a bizarre industry anyway, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And, like, things can happen out of nowhere. Like, your whole life can change in a day. So I think I'm kind of, and now that's like tenfold right now.
Well, I've absolutely loved hearing you on AEW, and I'm hoping that I'll get to hear you at many more places because it really has been brilliant. You've been wicked. I've really, really enjoyed it. So congratulations again on that.
Thank you.
No worries. Thanks for joining us for this week's episode, and good luck. Can't wait to see what's in store for you.
Thank you.
Take care. Tuesday Night Jaw.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thanks again to Vaida Scott for joining us on Tuesday Night Jaw. What a flipping story. I was so inspired by it. I know I've probably mentioned that 100 times, but I just came away from that conversation thinking, I could just do anything I wanted. Just got to say it out to the universe. So universe, if you listen to Tuesday Night Jaw, I want to hit 1 million downloads in the next year for the podcast. I want £1 million as well, but I'll settle for 1 million downloads. That would be lovely. Speak it out into the universe. Say it. Have you got your notepad at the ready? Have you written down your dreams? It doesn't matter if you haven't. All that matters is that you write down 10 answers to the next 10 questions, because we're moving on to Tuesday Night Jaw's inaugural episode of Big Pop Master. It's going to be 10 questions ranging from WCW, AEW, WWE, all the big hitters really. Gear up. If you want to whack a lucha mask on, now's your time. I'll give you a second. It's time to flex your brain muscles. Big Pop Master, let's get into it. Tuesday Night Jaw. Let's get into Big Pop Master. So I explained a little bit just then about the quiz and its format, but I didn't explain how you could be on the show. And that's by shooting me a WhatsApp message, letting me know who you are, where you're from, and how you do on today's episode of Big Pop Master. It would be good to know how you scored out of 10. You can send me a message on WhatsApp. My number is 07882 005.
8083. If you're international, that's +44 7882 005 803. Let me know all the information. Even if you don't want to be on the podcast, that's fine. I'd want to know how you did anyway. But let me know if you do want to be on the podcast, and maybe I can give you a call, whether you're here or you're overseas. If you think you can stand up to the 10 big Potmaster questions, I'll get in touch. Now, someone that got in touch with me this week that wanted to be part of it is Ollie. Ollie's 32. He's from Surrey. Ollie, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, Buzzers. How are you?
Yeah, lovely. Thank you. Thanks for asking. Now, Ollie, what's your favourite type of wrestling to watch at the minute? What are you enjoying?
I'm loving AEW at the moment. I think they've got a really fantastic product going. Much better than I think WWE and NXT have been a bit in the pits for a while now.
Do you think?
And AEW is really coming up. Yeah.
Are you a fan of the indies generally, or?
Historically, yeah. Like, I guess my wrestling history is mainly WWE centric, but I got into the indies a few years ago, and it's great seeing like the people I watched in the UK seen a few years ago doing so well on both WWE and AEW.
Yeah, excellent. So how do you feel you're going to do in this? I know you haven't seen or heard obviously any other episodes because we haven't had any yet, but are you feeling what's your wrestling knowledge like? How would you rate it?
A solid 6.5, I reckon.
Okay, that's good to know. So maybe we're going to go for a 6 or a 7 out of 10.
Maybe. Depends how many New Japan questions there are, because my knowledge is very UK and US centric.
Okay, let's see how you get on then. We'll get into the first question.
Cool.
At ECW One Night Stand, it was June the 11th, 2006, Rob Van Dam took on WWE hero John Cena. Which superstar interfered in a bike helmet to spear Cena through a table, much to the crowd's delight?
That would be Mr. Adam Copeland, aka Edge.
Correct, yes. First one in the bag, you're doing pretty well. Now, Edge took out the ref in that match. Can you tell me who came down to count the pinfall that gave Rob Van Dam that historic win?
I haven't watched this match in a long time. I'm going to take an educated guess at Paul Heyman.
Correct. 2 out of 2. Pretty good. Okay, we'll take it over to WWE. At WrestleMania 3, Hulk Hogan took on Andre the Giant in a match now considered one of the most important in the history of the business. At the Pontiac Silverdome, Hulk had put his title on the line and he'd had a 3-year reign. Hulk won and the crowd went wild, but can you tell me, how long had Andre the Giant been undefeated for up until that moment?
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, this was before I was born. How long had Andre been undefeated? I'm going to say 3 years.
More than that, 15 years.
Oh my god.
He was undefeated for, that's why it was such a historic match. Yeah, 15 wow. years. Good guess though, considering you weren't even born. Because 3 years seems like a super long reign, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
To be undefeated, but yeah, 15 years, that one.
Especially in today's world, like I can't remember a reign as long as Punk's, let alone 15 years.
Yeah, 15 years undefeated. In more recent history, this is question 4, who did Kofi Kingston beat at WrestleMania 35 to take home the WWE Championship?
Oh, I remember this match like it was yesterday. It was such a brilliant match. That'd be Daniel Bryan.
Correct. It is indeed Daniel Bryan. So yes for that one. 3 out of 4. Okay, right. Hopefully I don't get you on this one. It might be a little bit tricksy, but... Mm-hmm. Which former CZW World Heavyweight Champion won the IWGP United States Championship in his debut match for New Japan Pro Wrestling on June the 5th, 2019. There's two potential names you can mention here, and I'll take either.
Okay. Going by timing-wise, I'm going to say John Moxley.
Correct! John Moxley, yes. Well done. I was thinking then, it's a New Japan question, how's he going to fare? But yeah, good guesswork, good guesswork. Question number six. Elias was the number one entrant in the 2019 Royal Rumble, but which surprise entrant entered at number two to interrupt his song?
Oh. 2019. I don't remember it well because it wasn't a very good rumble. I remember. Jeff Jarrett.
Correct!
Yeah.
It's a good job I'm not pushing you for time on this one, isn't it? Excellent, well done. A little bit more tricksy, this one.
Okay.
In his book, A Lion's Tale, Chris Jericho described the moment that Dean Malenko revealed himself as the man beneath the mask, the Cyclope mask, as the biggest crowd pop he'd ever heard. That demasking happened in a Cruiserweight Battle Royale at which WCW event?
Yeah, my WCW knowledge isn't great. Bash at the Beach?
No, it wasn't Bash at the Beach. It was Slamboree.
Right.
I'd be really interested, actually, to know if Jericho still feels that way. Is it still the biggest pop he'd ever heard, particularly on the back of like the stuff he's been doing at AEW? It'd be interesting to know what he thinks of that.
Especially some of his own pops. Like, remember when he came back at that Rumble in, I think, 2014, 2015.
Yeah,
that was huge. Yeah,
yeah. So I'd like to speak to him about that. Maybe I'll try and get him on the podcast. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
He's probably too busy with his own.
You might have to guess this one, but if you're good at the educated guesses, you might get it. Question eight: what year was WCW Slamboree with that Chris Jericho moment?
Okay. 1997.
Oh, one out. 1998. Okay, I think you're on 5 out of 8 at the moment. So moving on to question 9, you're doing really well. All I want now is for you to get 6 or 7, because then you'll have got your perfect percentage correct. Which Japanese wrestler made a one-off appearance at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn to compete against Tyler Breeze? It got a crowd reaction, but only really from the big fans of international wrestling. Who was it?
That was the recently retired Jushin Thunder Liger.
Correct. It was Thunder Liger. Well done. And finally, in August 2005 on Raw, a baddie Shawn Michaels addressed the angry Montreal crowd by mocking the Canadian national anthem. Which Canadian hero's music hit to an insane crowd reaction? It interrupted him.
2005. This might be about the time of his return, so I'm going to say Bret Hart.
Correct, it was Bret Hart. Now, this is not for any bonus points because we've finished the quiz, but do you remember what happened after his music hit, out of curiosity?
I don't know.
So because it was when Shawn Michaels was being extreme baddie, he hit that music, the crowd went mad, people were like hugging each other and jumping up and down because it was like, oh my god, our Canadian hero's back. And then the music cut and Shawn Michaels laughed and said, he's not actually here, I'm just winding you up. And people were so upset. It's one of my favourite moments because he didn't really do all that much heel stuff from like how I remember him as a kid, but it was one of like the most awful baddie moments ever.
Yeah.
What a joke.
I mean, like my first memory of Michaels when I was growing up is his feud with Triple H at SummerSlam when Triple H was the uber heel.
This
is excellent mid-2000s heel work from Michaels. Brilliant stuff.
Excellent. And you predicted it. You got 7 out of 10. How are you feeling?
All right. I think the ones I didn't get, I'm not too gutted about because it wasn't something I knew a lot about, but pleased with some of the answers I pulled out of the bag.
Yeah, you were brilliant, great contestant. I'm really glad that you could be my first. I'm really delighted.
Cheers,
I'm gonna stay in touch with you because I'm thinking I'm hoping that more people get in touch and want to take part. That would be cool. But we might do like a series of them and then bring back the best. As like a champion of champions, champ off.
Amazing.
So stay tuned. I'll stay in touch. But thanks so much for being on the podcast. It's been really lovely to talk to you.
And thank you for bringing back Tuesday Night Jaw. My Wednesday commute is even better with it.
Oh, I'm glad. Is there anybody you want to give a shout out to that might also be listening, or are you one person like me where you just watch wrestling by yourself?
My best mate Chris will probably be listening. So, hi Chris.
Excellent. Hi Chris. Lovely. I'll take care. Speak to you soon. I'll take care. You take care. See you later, Ollie.
Bye.
Bye
bye.
Tuesday Night Jaw. 7 out of 10. Aye. Good on you, Ollie. Well done. And good on me as well, because I devised those quiz questions. Well, a friend of mine, Tristan French, at Tristan French over on Twitter, I had to hit him up and I was like, oh, I need something that's not too obvious but not too obscure. So we had a bit of a chat about it. I'm always looking for help with making sure that the quizzes are difficult enough, not too difficult, not too easy, because I don't want everyone coming on and getting 10 out of 10 because that'll just ruin my leaderboard. But how did you do? Let me know. Get in touch. And if you want to be on Big Potmaster next week, let me know. But for now, that's all I've got for you. Short and sweet. I hope you enjoyed it though. There's a lot of takeaway from this, I feel. I came out of the conversation that I had with Vader feeling really positive, so I'm going to put my feelings and thoughts out into the universe and hope they come back. My hope is that we'll get some good contestants for Big Pop Master, that I'll be able to continue bringing you cool interviews, and that I'll win £1 million by this time next year. No pressure, universe, but that's my hopes and dreams. Right, I'll speak to you next week. I certainly hope I can speak to you next week, all being well. I've got to wait on the results of that coronavirus thing. My flipping nose, honestly. My flipping nose. Take care. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.